Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
Bring God's word with you this evening. And so I invite you to open your Bibles in Proverbs as we've been going through it. And today we will be reading from chapter 6, and we'll be reading from verse 20 to 35. Proverbs chapter 6, 20 to 35. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life, to preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, and do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. For the price of a prostitute is only a loaf of bread, but a married woman hunts down a precious life. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. None who touches her will go unpunished. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his appetite when he's hungry. But if he's caught, he will pay sevenfold. He will give all the goods of his house. He who commits adultery lacks sense. He who does it destroys himself. Lord, would you instruct us by your word? Would you lead us and speak to us and help us to understand what you are saying to us this evening? In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, I recently learned how to make chocolate brownies. So, in our Bible study, we have one of the youth that comes with her parents, and she always bakes, and she gave the recipe to Melissa. And so, I was constantly asking Melissa, please do it, because it's simple and it's tastes really amazing. And Melissa got tired. She's like, here's the recipe, you do it. And now I am constantly making chocolate brownies. But here's the thing. If I make chocolate brownies, I know that they won't last for the next day. They will finish that same day. I will not be able to eat only one. And you know the feeling. Maybe it's with a packet of chips. You eat one, but you know that you're not going to stop until that packet is completely finished. I want to quote Lady Lois Rabe, an author, and she mentions this. Immorality is a process. People don't lead moral lives one day and have an affair in the next. It may appear that way, but it is a process. The process is often overlooked because some stages are not obvious to us, the viewer, and thus they are difficult to detect. That's why it seems to happen overnight. Any of us could be in the process right now. None of us are immune. The earlier the danger signals can be detected and responded to, the easier it is to change direction. So the point that I'm trying to start with is don't bake the brownie if you know that you won't be content with just one. Don't eat or buy the chips if you know you're gonna go all the way to the end. And so we're talking now about adultery. And before you think, well, most of us here are not married, actually, the context of this passage doesn't seem to be for someone who is married. It's for the child. So the parents are instructing the son. Look at how it starts. My son, keep your father's commandment. And so the specific context of this scenario is a warning for a young man about a married woman. But as we will see, the principles go beyond just this specific scenario. We are going to see what are some of these warning signs that will prevent us from falling into that trap of adultery or sexual immorality, even as if you will. So the first thing I want to raise with us tonight is the threat within. Verse 25 says, do not desire her beauty in your heart. Now, the parents are instructing the son in verse 24, from 20 to 23, they are saying, listen to us. Listen, this is very important. We are going to give you some lessons that you need to carry with you wherever you go. They will be a lamp and it will be helpful for the way of life. They will lead you. They will lead you when you lie down, and they will watch over you. So the parents are saying, my son, please listen to this. This is very important. Now, what is the subject? What are they trying to warn in verse 24? To preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. So that's what they are trying to address with the son now. We're going to tell you how to preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. And the first thing that they are going to say is that there is a threat from within. Do not desire her beauty in your heart. So the first thing that they are saying here is that there is a threat from the heart. Even if you don't tell anyone what you desire for, even if you haven't touched her physically, even if you didn't even say anything to her, the warning is, do not desire her beauty in your heart. What does this mean? This means that your heart is capable, is able to inappropriately desire someone. And we know this. We often preach about how deceitful our hearts are above all things. So even when no one is looking, or you haven't said anything, or you haven't touched or had anything in the physical realm, the first warning is, watch your heart. The warning is, guard your heart. Do not desire her beauty in your heart. Don't dwell in that. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. We often sing the song, you know, prone to wander. Our hearts are prone to wander. And the Bible here is seeming to show that the path to adultery starts with a desire in the heart. And so a warning both to men and women, our hearts are deceitful. That is where the first threat is. It's the threat within. It's what is happening inside your heart. But there is a threat within. It's something that an inappropriate desire that sometimes foster in the heart. But then there is a threat without. Look at the verse line. And do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. Now, we are in the 21st century, and today there are fake eyelashes. That's not what we're talking about here. They're like going to catch you with those big fake eyelashes. Here, the warning, it's clear that it's about looking. How will she capture you with her eyelashes? It's what you are seeing. It's by the eyes. And men are generally enticed by the eyes. Men are generally tempted visually. And one scholar puts it like this: do not let her captivate thee with her amorous glances. So in other words, those looks, those glances from eye to eye. You know, when there is the vibing, where does it start? There is some looks that are exchanged. I mean, Pastor Charles was warning us as a staff. We've been going through a book, and one of the chapters was about, you know, guarding ourselves from sexual immorality. And he was just saying, often it's just the connection of two people locking eyes, and that's where it starts. And so the next warning is that of guarding our eyes. And Jesus says in Matthew 6, 22 and 23, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? We have to be careful what we are exposing our eyes to. And so for the brothers in the house, what are you exposing your eyes to? If you're consuming rubbish, how do you expect to be pure? And I was debating whether I should go into this or not, but I do want to mention pornography because I think it's a big threat today. And there's a guy by the name of Gary Wilson that he explains that when men look at porn, they experience a surge after surge of dopamine in the brain. And the brain eventually fatigues, stopping the production of dopamine, leaving the viewer wanting more, but unable to reach a level of satisfaction. As a result, everyday pleasures stop causing excitement, and the viewer seeks out more novel, more intense pornography to get the same high as before. There is some chemical thing that happens when you're consuming that, and why I mention this is because it might eventually lead you to things much worse. I remember a while back meeting someone wanted to meet with me, and this person, the reason they wanted to meet with me was that they had slept with a prostitute. And so this person wanted counsel, and so I asked this person, how did this happen? How did you get to that point? And the person told me, actually, it started with porn. And then eventually just wasn't enough. And so we need to guard our eyes. A Puritan writer, William Garnall, said, "Set a strong guard about thy outward senses. These are Satan's landing place, especially the eye and ears." The words that are used here are worthy of notice. It says, do not let her capture you, captivate you. And these two warnings of the heart and the eye are very much linked. The outward and inward threat, actually Jesus says, points them out in this exactly same manner. In Matthew 5:28, he says, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman, looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And see, there is a threat of looking and the heart. And I do want to put a parenthesis here, because we can be, the ladies may be just feeling like kind of altered here, but I do want to point out, just as I warned about pornography, which is not just men who happen to often consume it, but also women, but ladies, I do want to warn you of some novels that have kind of the same effect. And I know ladies are stimulated by hearing, by words. And so be aware of that. But here Jesus elevates the standard, and he's reaffirming what Proverbs is saying here. There's a threat in the inner heart and the outward eyes. And so these are the warnings that the parents are giving to the son, but they don't stop at just that, saying, watch out for this. But they go on to say, there are very bad consequences if you fall into this. And so the consequences, the first consequence that they point is that if they fall into this, it is fatal. Look at verse 26. For the price of a prostitute is only a loaf of bread, but a married woman hunts down a precious life. Now, this is a difficult verse to interpret, because as I was preparing, this is a difficult verse to translate. And there are versions like the ESV that translated as, for the price of a prostitute is only a loaf of bread, but a married woman hunts down a precious life. But other versions, like the NASB, has it as, for the price of a prostitute reduces one to a loaf of bread, and an adulteress hunts for a precious life. So the first half of the verse could either mean that the services of a prostitute are cheap, or that it could reduce you to poverty. But regardless of this, the point still stands as that it will destroy your life. It hunts down a precious life. It is fatal. And this is reiterated in verse 32. Of our passage. He who commits adultery lacks sense. He who does it destroys himself. This author, again, of this book, The Snare, says, any sin infringes on the relationship of the believer and the Lord. Any sin damages the quality of life that gives abundance and fulfillment. However, no other sin so destroys the very foundation of the Christian marriage, a sexual immorality. And no other so devastates the fiber of a person's worth Adultery nullifies trust and destroys respect and integrity. Fornication defrauds and reduces people to objects of use, not love. And so I want you to understand the heaviness and the weightiness of these warnings. That's why the parents are saying to the son, you need to carry this because this could destroy your life. Could destroy your reputation. And while there is forgiveness, there is almost a sense of always a tainted image. Central Baptist had the unfortunate the unfortunate thing that happened here with one of the pastors of Central Baptist that committed adultery, and it really damaged the church. This is prior to Pastor Charles, by the way. And it destroyed his reputation. It damaged the church. It left the church brokenhearted because this is no small thing. It is fatal. And that's what the warning here is. It is fatal. It will destroy life. But not only is it fatal, you will be punished. The other consequence is that those who commit adultery will get burnt. Look at in the illustration, and there's two illustrations for this, verse 27 and 28. So in wisdom literature, he's illustrating this point. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Well, obviously not. If you carry coals in your chest, yeah, your clothes are going to get burned. Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? No. So that's the first comparison, that you will get burned, which is a metaphor for complete ruin. That's what literal fire does to a structure, and in this case, what the fire of adultery does to a man's life. The second illustration goes from lesser to great. In verse 30 to 31, people do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his appetite when he's hungry, but if he is caught, he will pay sevenfold. He will give all the goods of his house. So this means if someone steals under a sense of compulsion, has to pay a severe penalty. How much greater penalty will a man suffer for committing a more disgraceful and altogether unnecessary offense? He will be punished. Bridges says, sin and punishment are linked together by a chain of adamant. The fire of lust kindles the fire of hell. Now, it says here in verse 29, none who touches her will go unpunished. Repeating, saying about going to his neighbor's wife. None who touches her will go unpunished. Now, the verse doesn't say who is the punisher. Who is going to punish this? Well, in Proverbs 11 and 16, etc., it is implied that God is the one that punishes. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God would judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. So not only would you, it's going to be fatal for your life, but you might get a punishment from God. So just a few application points that I want to mention here. We ought to live in light of the gospel. Galatians 5:24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We ought to be living in light of what Christ has done for us, being dead to sin and alive with Him. Temptation is not going away. It's going to carry on for the rest of our lives. But what changes from us to someone who doesn't know Christ is that something has happened. There has been a change in our hearts, and we have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That doesn't mean we are perfect. That doesn't mean that there is no fighting. That means that you're not your own, that you are in Christ. And so you can have new affections. 1 Corinthians 6:15-20 says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But listen to this. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. See, when it comes to sexual immorality, when it comes to this temptation of whether it's a married woman, as in the case of this scenario of an adulteress who is trying to glance at you and really entice you, whether it's from that or someone that has been, that dresses provocatively or whatever the case, when it comes to sexual immorality, the Bible doesn't say fight, the Bible says flee. Run away. You don't have the power to. I'm going to rebuke her in the name of Jesus, and the desire will be gone. No, as soon as the situation presents itself, run. Fly away. Flee from sexual immorality. Remove yourself from the situation. If you know that you're going to be in a situation alone and there are some, just a couple of clicks and you're in, leave that situation. If there is someone who wants to, I don't know, ask you and it's in a, I don't know, inappropriate space or whatever, you can see by the way they're dressing, this is going to go south real quick, leave. Don't try by your strength. I do want to say that for those that have sinned and fallen short in this area of sexual immorality, that you need to repent and redirect your eyes on Jesus and trust Him. As soon as it happens, repent and put your faith in Jesus again. Repent and put your faith in Jesus, because every single sin was taken by Jesus on the cross. There's a story where a young man comes to R.C. Sproul, and he says, I am feeling really bad because I slept with my girlfriend. And I can't shake the guilt, and I've repented and I just can't move on from this. And so R.C. Sproul looks at him and says, you need to repent. He said, I've repented. He said, No. You need to repent for not trusting in His promise that you are indeed forgiven. That if you have fallen, there is redemption in Christ Jesus. All our sins have been taken by Him on the cross. And there is no condemnation. But don't go and sin again. Repent and keep up the fight. Flee from sexual immorality, that you may not fall into this fatal sin. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Oh Lord, You are merciful. We are weak. We fall short. And we often transgress against You, our holy God. And Lord, because of that, we repent, Lord. I do want to pray for each person that is here today. None of us are exempt from falling into a trap of sexual immorality. Lord, our hearts are prone to wander. Our eyes sometimes are watching or seeing things that they not ought to. I ask You that You would help us to be reminded of how holy You are, Lord. You are holy, O God. And You have called us to be holy. And so, Lord, I ask You that You would help this man and woman here to stay pure, to look to You, to be infatuated by You. Thank You that through Jesus we have been given Holy Spirit, Lord. And so would You help us to flee this temptation. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.